Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I want to begin by saying that prayer is something that anyone, anywhere, anytime, anyhow can do it. Young and old can do it. I think it's something natural like breathing, and I think it's something very supernatural. And I want you to know that prayer is something I think instinctive. I've talked to you all this weekend, really, about how God wants to touch us. And I think that one of the ways that God touches us is through prayer. And oftentimes, you know, we kind of put prayer on the side burner. We try to pray. We don't know if it's our prayer life is a good prayer life. Many people that come up to me say, Father Cedric, I don't know if I'm sinning because I don't think my prayer life is all that great. And I'd like to say that any effort toward God, remember what I said, anybody, anywhere, anyhow, anytime, I think any effort toward God is a good prayer. You know, it's just the fact that you're trying, and that's really important. So really, it's simple, natural, instinctive. Anybody can do it, and everybody does do it, hopefully, everybody in this church. I've done some ministry with the Alcoholics Anonymous program. AA and all the other 12-step programs, I think you know the 11th step is about prayer. And they have a saying that prayer is, I like this, it's conscious contact with God. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. If you read the catechism, it says that it's a lifting of our mind and our hearts to God. We're trying to go outside of ourselves to God. And I think that's beautiful. It's a contact. Remember what Jesus taught. He said, abide in me. Abide in me, and I in you. The picture that I get is like a branch on the vine, and you know, we get the sap, we get the nutrients. Another image that I have for prayer is that of a mother. And you know, when the baby comes out of the mother, the baby's connected by the umbilical cord. And that umbilical cord connects that child to the mother, but also the nutrients, the vitamins, the liquids flow through that umbilical cord to the child. In that way, when we pray, what we're doing is we're being connected to God at Mass and privately. We're connecting ourselves to God so that the strength, the wisdom, the grace, and the glory of God will flow into us. And that's what we're looking for. You see, we're not just independent people. We just don't live on our own. We've got to stay connected to the vine. We've got to continue to abide in Christ. Another image that I was thinking of is, you know, a couple weeks ago I saw the space shuttle go up. My mom lives in Florida. And I remember we went down to the beach and we watched it go up. And they did a spacewalk. And when they do the spacewalk, they're tethered. That's so that, you know, they won't just float off into space somewhere. And in the same way, we've got to stay tethered to God throughout our day so that we just don't float off somewhere and into false doctrine, into sin, into anxiety, into depression, all those kinds of things. So I'm just kind of laying a little bit of a foundation, telling you that prayer, first of all, is something simple, and then it's contact with God. It's staying connected with God. And, you know, you have to make that the foundation of your day, and then as you go throughout your day, you know, you're full of wisdom and strength. Now, prayer is important. I think we know that. You know, as I came into church this morning, I heard everybody praying the rosary. I guess you do that before Mass. And, you know, October is the month of Mary, as May is. October is the month of the rosary. And I remember when I was over in Rome, I got to study there a couple years ago, and I told you about the Sistine Chapel and about creation. Well, on the sanctuary wall, on the back wall there, Michelangelo painted the Last Judgment. It's a horrific scene. I mean, there's the angels and there's the people that are saved, and down below, the bottom of the sanctuary wall, are the people that are damned. And it's a terrible scene of people in agony and shame and embarrassment and, you know, moaning, you know. And Strangely, there was a man dangling between heaven and hell on what looked like a rope. But if you go up closer and if you take a good look, in fact, we had an art teacher over there and she taught us about the different artworks and she pointed this out to us. The man was dangling between heaven and hell. Really, he was being kept out of hell by this, it wasn't a rope, it was a rosary. And that's painted right on the wall of the Sistine Chapel. In other words, Michelangelo was telling us how important prayer is and that it keeps you out of hell and hopefully it'll help you to go to heaven. And, you know, many people pray the rosary, some don't, but it's a very important way to pray. And prayer is important. That's what Michelangelo was saying. 2 years ago, I recorded the rosary on CD. You know, our late Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, he came out with another mystery, the luminous mystery, along with the glorious and the joyous and the sorrowful mysteries. And so I recorded a four-set CD called Praying the Rosary with Father Cedric. And it's something very popular. Many people have been getting it so that you can put it in and pray with me the rosary. And I've recorded many things. You know, like we're recording right now this week, all this mission because it's a new mission. And usually the recordings go very well. But for some reason, and we've had a big history of recording, but for some reason when I was recording that rosary CD, things were coming against us, and it shouldn't have. It should have been a very easy thing to do. It took us over a year to record that thing. There was mistakes, there was noise, there was different things that weren't right in it. And it was like, I kept thinking, why this difficulty in recording a simple rosary CD? Of course, the answer is clear. Evil does not want us to pray, and he will come against us in many different ways. And it's obvious to me that, you know, that was one of the things that he didn't want to have on my tape table was a rosary CD. And if you read the Catechism, when it talks about prayer, there's a whole section on what's called the battle of prayer. That's an interesting thing, that prayer is a battle. And why is it a battle? Because there's distractions, there's temptations, there's hardships. You know, evil is always trying to pull you away. You don't think you're doing it right. You don't think that God is pleased with your prayer life. And it's just like it's a battle. You're lazy. You're tired. You know, you don't feel like it. There's all kinds of different things going on. So really, you have to understand that prayer is important. And that's why Michelangelo painted that beautiful scene of that man holding on for dear life. So don't give up on your prayer life. And don't let Satan try to steal it from you. And don't let him try to pull it away. And then let me just tell you that if you don't have prayer as the foundation of your life every day, not just once in a while on Sunday, and of course you know that, but every day you've got to start your day off right by getting centered. I remember, you know, I love to golf, and I'm an avid golfer. In fact, my book, Golf and God, I talk about pray and play, that you should be praying even when you play, especially golf, let me tell you. So I remember I was out golfing with a friend of mine, and I met this man in Michigan. He's a 70-year-old man, and we hit it off really well. He loves to golf. I love to golf. And every once in a while, about once a year, we go on a week's golf vacation. And in order to save money, we stay in the same hotel room. That's not something I enjoy doing, is staying with somebody else in the same room. But, you know, it's half the price. You know, they always give you a two-for-one type thing. Since I'm not married, you know, that's the way it goes. So anyway, it was so hard for me to stay with him, not because he snored, but because I couldn't pray. You know, we prayed once in a while together, but you know, when I get up in the morning, after I wash up, I need time to get centered. And I need time to praise. I love that psalm, you know, praise be the name of the Lord, from the rising of the sun to the setting, may the name of the Lord be praised. I always say, from the rising of the sun to the setting, and everywhere in between, that means all night long, may the name of the Lord be praised. So it was hard for me, and I'd barely be able to just get a little prayer in, then off to the golf course, you know. And I'd get irritated and frustrated, and I'd be impatient and everything. And I'd realize even more than normal. And it wasn't just because I was missing putts, it was because I wasn't centered. And the opposite side of the coin, the positive side of prayer is, of course, when you pray, you have that sweet peace. And there's creativity, and there's strength. And there's power, there's help from God. And that's exactly what we need. You see, as you come to prayer every day, you realize that, you know what, you're not living your life on your own. God's in control. We are not our own masters, the Bible tells us. We belong to God. And it's that whole thing of abiding in Christ. So you get the foundation of the day, and hopefully it'll lead to less irritation and more power, more strength for you, good decision-making. And then as you go on throughout your day, you sense that God is in control. One of my favorite prayers is, Lord, lead me, guide me, control me. Now, I'm the type that likes to be in control, but I try to surrender control to God. So those are some practicalities just about the foundation of prayer. You know, I could go on all day about, you know, just the foundation, but let me try to get into some real-life praying. I want to tell you that a lot of people are distressed about their prayer life because they feel like it doesn't work. For example, they pray for things and it doesn't seem to be happening. And they say, gee, what's wrong with me? Everybody else seems to be getting an answer and I don't. Is it just me? Well, it's not just you. I'll tell you, prayer is a very tricky thing. When it comes to asking for things, sometimes it doesn't seem like we're receiving exactly what we want. And there's a statement. I want to tell you that God doesn't always give you what you want, but he gives you what you need. And I had an example of that just yesterday. It's a crazy example, but it kind of makes the point. Yesterday morning, I get up, and I hadn't taken a shower yet here because I just got here on Saturday. And, you know, I've got 5 services ahead of me, preaching to thousands of people. My hair is sticking straight up, you know, when I get out of bed. New bed, you know, I kind of wrestle a little bit with that. And I get up, and I'm going to take a shower. And I'd already turned on the water the day before just to make sure it worked, and it worked fine over in the rectory. Water works great. So there I am, getting ready to go in the shower, and I pull, you know how that thing you got to pull up to make it come out? Calcified shut. Couldn't budge it. It wouldn't move. And I'm like, pulling as hard as I could on that thing. Wouldn't move. So immediate person of prayer that I am, Lord, please, I need to take a shower. I got the 7:30 mass. Please make this thing work. And you know what? It didn't work. Y'all are thinking, this guy, he's a prayer, you know, I'm sure it's going to work. No, it didn't work. I'm thinking, where do I do? Get a screwdriver? I don't know where the screwdrivers are. I don't know how to do it. No 3-in-1 oil. You know, I'm going through everything. I got to take a shower. And you know what the Lord told me deep in my heart? You know what I heard? Take a bath. You don't always get what you want, but you get what you need. So the first time in 15 years on a Sunday morning at any mission, I took a bath, and it was right here. It was the strangest thing. Well, between then and now, of course, I got that thing going. You know, we got the pliers and everything, so now it works. But that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you pray for something you think that you want, and you don't get it exactly the way you ask for it. Remember in the gospel, Jesus said, the people of this generation seek a sign, and no sign will be given to them except for the sign of Jonah. So that's why don't think that your prayers aren't answered. God kind of throws boomerangs sometimes. I never thought of it that way, but he throws boomerangs, you know, and it comes back at you another different way. So try to be aware of how God answers your prayers. So that's one thing I wanted to say. Again, you don't always get what you want, but you get what you need. And that's really important. Then there's a timing issue. You know, things don't always happen in your timing. It happens in God's timing. Most people I know, you know, husbands are praying for their wives are praying for their husbands, some of them to be saved. Most of you, if not all of you, have children that aren't going to church, grandchildren that aren't going to church. You've been praying for them to come to Jesus and to be saved. I hear the stories. Some of them have gone to other churches, evangelical churches, and you're distressed about that, and you know, you're praying for them. What I'd like to say is, you know, timing. It's not always in your timing. And that, you know, remember the story of Saint Monica and Saint Augustine. Saint Monica was a great saint, the mother of Saint Augustine, but Saint Augustine wasn't always a saint. In fact, he was a rabble-rouser and a partier and, you know, all these different things. But she didn't give up. She stayed persistent, you know, and she persevered in her prayer. And eventually, Saint Augustine became a great saint because of his mother's prayers. You know, and what I like to say is, God gave me a phrase one time, things don't always happen immediately, but they happen eventually if you don't give up. God is faithful. So don't give up. Stay persistent. Remember the parables that Jesus gave us about prayer. Persevere. You know, if it's God's will, it'll come to be, and God cares more for your children than you do. but he will use you as an intercessor to work through for his will to be done on earth. That's why at Mass we have intercessory prayer. A woman, Friend Janice, in fact, she has that intercessory prayer line online, emails. It goes out to hundreds of people so that we can all be praying for different people, needs. We pray for people at Mass. See, God's will through us, we're co-creators. And it doesn't always happen immediately, but it happens eventually if you stay with it. Now, I was thinking about the conversion of Russia. Remember when you grew up, didn't you pray for the conversion of Russia? It didn't happen immediately, did it? But it happened. Nobody ever would have believed that Russia would have changed like it did. But it has. So that, to me, is a parable in and of itself, you know, that God will use us eventually for his will to be done on earth. Let me keep moving. I got a couple more things I want to tell you. Last year, I was at an airport, and I was flying from Houston, where I live, to Boston. I had a mission last Lent up in Massachusetts, where I grew up. Flying is kind of romanticized nowadays. People say, oh boy, I'm going to fly, this is going to be good. Well, you know, those planes are packed, and if you ever go through security, that's not a fun time. And well, anyway, make a long story short, there I was right by the airplane, and I was looking, you know, through a plate glass window, and I was thinking, you know, I got to go to Boston. It's a four-hour flight. I'm about to become a sardine stuck in there, and I've got long legs, and, you know, they just cram you in there. There's never an empty seat, hardly. And then when I get there, I lose control. Who knows what the shower is going to be like in Boston, you know, and you know, it's hard. There's anxiety. There's worry. So I remember I was standing by the window and I said, Lord, please help me. I need your strength. I need your peace. And all of a sudden I looked down, and right there, right on the windowsill, was a little sparrow. And he didn't even know anybody was watching him. You know, right in the midst, there's carts running around. There's luggage people down there. They're loading the plane. I'm looking out at the plane at the jetway. And I see this little teeny bird just sitting there. And I'm looking at it, and as I'm looking at it, I sense somebody was looking at me. Not a person, God. And so, you know, I got on the plane, it was safe, got to the rectory, got moved in. Right when I got to the rectory, I look on the wall, and there's a lithograph. His eye is upon the sparrow, and his eye is upon you. And I said, thank you, Lord. And that mission turned out so good. God is faithful. And that's what I want to say about prayer, that, you know, as you're praying, sometimes it doesn't seem like God is there, but God is there. And sometimes it doesn't seem like he's hearing you. You don't feel it. Well, don't give up. We're talking about faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by feelings, although most people do walk by feelings, but we walk by faith, not by sight. And you have to trust that God is there for you and that he does hear you. So really, realize that his eye is upon you and his eye is upon the sparrow. You know, my older sister, I have two older sisters. I'm the only boy and the third, that's why I'm spoiled. But anyway, my older sister, you know, she's 56 years old now, and about 10 years ago, much to our surprise and much to our sorrow, she developed colon cancer. Colon cancer, I think you know, is the second largest killer of people for cancer. She also got lung cancer, too, and she hasn't smoked. So it must be in our family. Well, anyway, she had a piece of her colon taken out, and she's now doing very well, and she's alive and healthy. She has three children, but, you know, now I'm in the same gene pool, if you know what I mean. So 5 years ago, when I was in Sacramento living there, I had a colonoscopy. If you know what that is, that's when they go inside and they take a look at your colon from the inside to see if you have any polyps, see if you have any cancer. So I had this done at age 44, which is way early, but I wanted to make sure because it runs in the family. Now, the only problem with that is that I have a fear of being put to sleep. The reason why I have a fear of being put to sleep is because I had a traumatic experience at my dentist when I was a young man and I had my wisdom teeth removed. And when they put me to sleep, it was terrible. They strapped me in and put that thing on me and put the IV and all the lights and everything, and I felt like they were killing me. So I developed a fear of being put to sleep, and maybe it's a loss of control, a fear of losing control. So now, you know, the first colonoscopy that I had done in Sacramento, I didn't let them put me to sleep. I was so afraid. And, you know, when they blow that air in you, it was like, oh, it killed. So I said, this time I am being put to sleep, you know, but now I have a predicament because I'm afraid. And I don't want to have that IV put in me, and I don't, you know, it's just like, you know, they kill you or something, you know, I don't like that. So anyway, when I went to the doctor, I was so prayed up for this. I said, Lord, you know, I surrender to you, I love you, I trust in you, and I know that you're going to make it work for good. They put that IV in me, and I mean, I was turned on my side. I had a smile on my face, and I had peace, because I said, Lord, you're in control. And it was like nothing. It was so sweet. I got home, and I'm, thank you, God. By the way, I turned out great, no polyps, nothing. Thank you, God, for that, especially. But by the way, if you haven't had a colonoscopy, you might think of that. So, you know, my main point is a lot of people are afraid of losing control, and they're afraid of death. The book of Hebrews talks about the fear of death. And some of you are confronting that in your life, and you've thought a lot about it. I'm 49 years old. I think about death. And some of you are a lot older than I am, and I'm sure you're thinking about it too. And what you have to do is, see, I think prayer gives you courage to face things. Prayer gives you the strength not to run. Prayer gives you the grace, even though you're afraid, that you know that God's going to be with you and help you. And that's why we need prayer, so that we can be strong and face our issues, even the fear of losing control, even the fear of the future, even the fear of death itself. And I believe that God will be our strength. And let me start to wind this down. I have one more story I wanted to tell you. And that has to do with sometimes, you know, life doesn't go the way we want it to go. That's why we need prayer, whether it's in our relationships, our physical body, our, you know, finances, you know, whatever it is. And for me, you know, as a religious and as a priest, my main goal, my heart is to evangelize. That means to share the good news with people. And that's why I'm a missionary. And I do that, you know, everywhere in the United States. And I think it's neat that y'all come, you know, you're faithful people. Those of you listening by CD, you're believers. We're in the walls of the church right now. But I always thought, wouldn't it be great if we could go outside the walls of the church and reach out to the people that aren't going? Because I have a heart for the over 50% of Catholics that aren't going to church, and all the young people that aren't attending Mass, and they're not hearing the gospel, and they're being swallowed up by the world. So, of course, I pray for that. And so one of the things that I felt, one of the realities that I felt that God was doing in me, I felt he was calling me to reach out through certainly preaching, but also through media, through TV. So I started to produce some programs. Through prayer, I discerned this. It was called, my programs are called Live with Passion. I'm a passionist, and I always talk about enthusiasm and living your life to the full. So I discerned this in prayer that I think that God is really calling me to do this. And I produced a pilot program, and I sent it into EWTN. You know what EWTN is? The Eternal Word Television Network. And I get this message back from the programming manager that they accepted it, and they wanted my program. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is great. This happened last year on November 1st. I said, this is great. Father Cedric's going global, right? And I'm going to be able to preach to millions now. So I'm rejoicing and everything. And then about 6 months later, you know, we're waiting for the program to be put on. Everybody's asking me because I've told everybody. And everybody's asking me, when's this going to be on, Father Cedric? And, well, hold on. You know, the programming manager, we're working on it. And I get this email that they've decided to put my program on long-term hold. I know, isn't it terrible? I was devastated, because for all intents and purposes, they were saying, no, your program's been canceled, even before it started. And what I'm saying is that my dream for TV was like squashed. And so how do you handle that? You handle it through prayer. One of the things about prayer that is very beautiful is called acceptance. It helps you to accept the things, the broken dreams, the children that aren't going to church, the physical sufferings, the money that's not coming in. It helps you to handle life in a beautiful way. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood, because he doesn't want to go to the cross. And it was in prayer that he was strengthened to be able to face the passion. And remember what he said. He said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. He accepted. And I love that beautiful serenity prayer that's in the 12-step program, attributed to Reinhold Niebuhr. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So it's in prayer, folks, that when life doesn't go exactly the way you want it to go, that you can accept things. And that's really important, because a lot of people just continue to resist life as it is. And if you do that, you're just going to be continually frustrated. But a person of prayer and a person of surrender, a person who really seeks God's will be able to accept life on its own terms and live in peace. By the way, just a footnote to all that. Give me the courage, the serenity to accept and the courage to change the things that I can. I didn't give up. I stayed determined. And I've continued to reach out to many different networks. Finally, a network has picked me up. It's called the Inspiration Network. Unfortunately, you don't get it in California, but we get it all in the East Coast. It's on cable nationally. It goes out to like 21 million homes. Starting December 1st, God willing, my show, Live with Passion, is going to be on the Inspiration Network. So I'm real happy about that. So what I'm saying is that prayer is so important, in many different areas of our life. And anyone, anywhere, anyhow, anytime can do it. And we need prayer. Certainly it keeps us in the flow of God and helps us to accept life. But remember, we don't always get what we want, but we get what we need. And we have to stay in the flow. And God will answer our prayers in His will and in His timing. Amen?
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.